Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and today's topic is When Children Kill, the story of two different teenagers or preteens who committed murder, one Mary Bell and the other Brenda Spencer. And joining me, as always, on our panel is young Brittany. How are you today, young Brittany?
It's been a good day, Tim. How's your day?
So far, so good. And across from me is the incomparable Brandy. How are you, Brandy?
I'm good, Tim. How are you?
Fine, but I need a new nickname for you because your hair is...
You know, and by incomparable, he means ain't never seen nothing like...
You know, that's a compare to her. Yeah. Nothing to, no one compares.
It's very
her.
Easy to do now, though. You know what she is? Because she can't change this. She's trying to change her disguise around on us.
Mm-hmm. My disguise?
Your disguise.
But she's a woman in many disguises.
She's just a brown eyed devil.
Brown eyed
devil. Well, she's a karma chameleon.
Yeah. Oh. She's a karma devil.
Okay. And also, of course, with us, as you can hear, is the very distinguished Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm very well, Timmy, and I would like to thank our listeners for their support through my time of man Ebola.
Yeah, you were
a little touch and go for that for a while.
You were in ill health for a while.
Yeah, I had the man Ebola.
He gave me the man flu.
You can't really get the man flu, you woman.
It was still the man flu.
Well, I'm sorry. I did not mean to. You shouldn't have been drinking after me. Why are you picking up my stuff and drinking after me anyway?
Stay away from me.
Did you do that really on purpose?
No, I was sick. Yeah, I blamed him.
Yeah, well.
We all do.
Yeah, he's probably the source of your illness.
I will tell you this weekend, Timmy, I was at a country club.
Okay.
For a graduation party. No, but I'll tell you who I did run into, and he's starting to irk me a little bit, even more than Ted Cruz.
Rand Paul.
Bernie Sanders. First of all, he talked funny. But this whole free college thing, that was my idea.
It's anarchy.
That was my idea.
Free college is anarchy.
We're sitting at the bar. We're talking about it. I said, you know what we need? Free college. Next thing I know, Bernie Sanders out in the news. Oh, I'm going to get free college everything.
See, in my day, you got free college. You just took out student loans and you didn't pay them.
Well, they had one-room schoolhouses.
That seems to be everybody's day right now.
Right.
That's the story.
Okay, let's move on to the topic of our show, which
don't
is...
Don't we have shout-outs to do to Dottie Scott?
To, yeah, okay,
hey,
shout-outs.
Dottie. Hi, Dottie.
Any shout-out? Hey, Dottie. Any other shout-outs? Hi, Mom. Any other shout-outs?
I don't think so.
Okay, we're good to go. Okay, let's start with the story of Mary Bell. And today's topic is When Children Kill. And we're going to talk about two young ladies who, in their young lives, turned to murder.
Hey, can I just interject something?
We haven't even started yet.
Seriously? Started because when you say Mary Bell, it's her last name is Bell, like a bell you ring.
What story do you have?
But Timmy, being from the Portsmouth area where they don't really speak English, he says it like bail. Like,
yeah, we're losing
half
of our audience.
I just want the audience to know.
I don't know that you should be talking to anybody about how they speak.
Yes, I agree. And your phony southern accent.
Talk.
Okay. So, the story of Mary Bell. Both these young ladies, one was one was born and grew up in Great Britain, Mary Bell, and Brenda Spencer is from the United States. But Randy and I are going to tell you about Mary Bell. Mary Flora Bell.
Bell, clearly.
Thank you.
Clear as a bell.
Clear as a bell.
Was born on May 26, 1957, so she was a little older than me. She was a British woman who, as a child, strangled to death two little boys in Scotswood, which is the inner city suburb of Newcastle upon Tyne. Of course, you've probably been there many times, Colonel.
I've not been there, but I can tell you that strangling somebody ain't easy. It ain't as easy as it shows on the movies.
That is correct.
That's been my experience as well.
And she was convicted in December 1968 of manslaughter of these two young boys, Martin Brown, who was age four, and Brian Howe, who was age three. When she committed these murders, Mary Bell was only 11 years old. So, Colonel, I know you've done a lot of questionable stuff in your life, but I don't even think you have taken a human life that I'm aware of.
I don't know that we want to talk about that here, Timmy.
Okay, I don't want you to incriminate yourself.
Yeah, there's no
statute of limitations.
Yeah,
okay. But okay, this is
gotcha journalism. Is what this is.
I mean, yeah. What is this?
Timmy,
I mean,
put you on the spot. There. Okay. Well, anyway, this is a serious subject. So, Mary Flora Bell was born May 26, 1957, and her mother was Betty. Was only 17 years old when she had Mary. Betty was a prostitute, Colonel. Of course, you were very familiar with that population. Who was also absent.
There's
a lot.
Difference between prostitutes and trannies.
Good point. Fair point. Fair
trannies
point.
Are Chuck's population.
Yeah. But we love all groups on our show.
We're inclusive.
We are. We're a big tent. We have a big tent. Our podcast.
We do have a big tent.
So, Betty was a prostitute. She was often absent from the home. She was 17 years old. Betty was 17 years old when she had Mary, whose nickname was May growing up. It's not clear who Mary's biological father was. It's believed it was a guy named, she considered her father a guy named Billy Bell, who was a habitual criminal. And he was eventually arrested for armed robbery. He married Betty. When Mary was a baby, but there's some evidence that suggests that he met her after Mary was already born. So,
if you don't know who your daddy is, why don't you pick somebody good?
Well, I mean, he married her mom, so it makes sense that she thinks that he was probably the only father figure she had. They didn't have a very good relationship. Her and her father, but her and her mother. Betty was, like I said, absent a lot from the home. She frequently left her daughter with relatives or acquaintances, and she once tried to give Mary away to a woman she met on the street outside an abortion clinic. So,
hold on. If you're going to give away a child,
well, like I said, give them away in front of an
Toys R Us or something. Don't be going out to the abortion clinic and trying to give away your kid.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But the home they lived in Newcastle apparently was pretty filthy, sparsely furnished. It was a depressed area of Scotswood and had a reputation. Mary gained a reputation very early on for theft and vandalism and attacking other children. Betty, as we said, she tried to give Mary away. There's also reports that she tried to kill Mary. And make it look like an accident. Mary fell, with air quotes, from a window. And then Mary accidentally consumed sleeping pills on another occasion.
Mama tried to tell her they were sprees.
Actually, you're right. She said an independent witness saw Betty give Mary pills and told her that it were sweets.
See, that's why I didn't take those sprees from her.
Yeah, it was a wise move. Mm-hmm. Mary was, her mom was a prostitute. Mary herself was subjected to repeated sexual abuse from her mom, forcing her from the age of four to engage in sexual acts with men. So it's a really sad, sick story.
So she was a prostitute too.
Well, she was a victim.
She didn't get any money.
She was abused, and then naturally she started acting out. She was a chronic liar, and just very disruptive when she started school. And often in school, she voiced her desire to hurt other people. Mary's behavior in school included attacking other children, vandalism, theft. But for whatever reason, it didn't attract undue attention. I guess it was pretty common in that part of town. Things were pretty rough. She also had a reputation of trying to show off a lot. She would make proclamations like, "I'm a murderer," but they were just kind of dismissed as her idle boast. But apparently, she took it a step further.
Well, you know, Mary, you know, she was jacked up from the beginning. She really didn't have a chance in this world, but Mary was a bit of an asshole, to say the least. And I'm going to read from a couple of sources here about what she did. First of all, her May 11th, 1968, Mary and a girl named Norma Bell, no relation to her, were playing with a 3-year-old boy on top of a Newcastle air raid shelter. The boy fell and was severely injured, but the incident was just kind of written off as an accident. The next day, the mothers of 3 young girls informed police that Mary had attacked and choked all 3 of these kids. She was interviewed and lectured by authorities, but no charges were filed. It's a stern lecture that always keeps people from choking my children.
Do not kill.
Yeah.
How old was she then?
She was 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
On May 25th, 2 boys playing in an old abandoned house found the corpse of 4-year-old Martin Brown lying in an upstairs room. Mary and Norma Bell had followed, air quotes, the boys inside and had been ordered out when the police arrived. There was no obvious cause of death, and it was assumed that he had swallowed pills from a discarded bottle found nearby. So these boys discovered the bodies, and these girls just happened to wonder, what are you guys looking at?
Looking at you.
Yeah, asshole. So on the next day, on the 26th, Norma Bell's father caught Mary choking his 11-year-old daughter. Now, Norma Bell was actually 13, I think, at the time. So she had a younger sister who was 11, and Mary was choking her and got caught. He slapped her and sent her home. Later that day, a local nursery school was vandalized, and police discovered notes that read in horrible language and horrible spelling and all those things, you know, "fuck off, we murder, watch out."
Yeah, so they broke into the school, and they were kind of taking credit for...
Well, they just left these notes. She left these notes. Now, nobody really knows if Norma was with her or not, but she left these notes claiming to have murdered Martin Brown. And 4 days later, Mary actually appeared at the Brown residence asking to see Martin. And, you know, when the mother said, you know, "I'm sorry, he's passed away," or whatever, Mary looked at the mother and said, "Oh, I know he's dead. I wanted to see him in his coffin."
Nice.
Yeah, she's crazy.
That's messed up girl right there.
I know.
And she's, keep in mind, what, 11 here?
10, 11, yeah.
Well, she was a mature 11.
Yeah, she was, obviously.
She had lived through a lot.
On May 31st, a newly installed burglar alarm at the vandalized nursery school brought patrolmen back there to the scene, where they found Mary and Norma Bell just kind of hanging out beside the building. Both of them denied any involvement in the previous break-in, and they were released to the custody of their parents. So they were probably hanging out smoking. 2 months went by with nothing, so May was a big month for her, and then 2 months went by before the disappearance of 3-year-old Brian Howe in Newcastle. An immediate search was mounted, and Mary Bell told Brian's sister that he might be playing on a heap of concrete blocks that had been dumped out in a nearby vacant lot.
That was a euphemism.
We
choked him and killed him and threw him.
Evidently it was,
concrete.
But yeah.
So when, on these claims, though, back when she broke into school, they just thought it was someone.
Just stupid kids.
Yeah, stupid kids.
In fact, he was discovered there amongst the tumbled slabs, but he was dead. a victim of manual strangulation. His legs and stomach had been mutilated with a razor and a pair of scissors that police recovered at the scene.
And that's, like the colonel said, to strangle someone takes a lot of effort.
It ain't easy. It takes you a good 7-8 minutes.
Well, they also actually...
And that's if you catch a bicycle.
Well, and that's as an adult. So think as a 10-year-old.
Really, the key is to get your thumbs in the carotid and jugular there.
You're too much information.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my Israeli
dream. There were puncture marks on his thighs, and his genitals had been partially skinned.
Yikes.
Clumps of his hair had been cut away. They thought the wounds were bizarre. Somebody had said there was a terrible playfulness about it, terrible gentleness, if you like, and somehow the playfulness of it made it more rather than less terrifying. That was one of the inspectors on the scene. Brian's belly had been signed with an M, with a razor blade, but you couldn't see it, I guess, until days later.
So she's marking her victim.
Well, she marked it. At first, evidently, she had put an N on there, and then the last little part of the M, was added later on, they think, by somebody else, or she did it with her opposite hand to change the N into an M. So
one messed up kid.
So, well, it could have been Norma or Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that going. The medical examiner suggested the killer might have been a child, since relatively little force was used. Detectives started circulating questionnaires amongst the local children, asking suspects to account for their movements. Answers from Mary and Norma were inconsistent. Both girls were brought in for questioning. And while Mary claimed that she had seen an older boy abusing Brian, Norma cracked and told them that she had watched Mary kill the boy. So Norma ratted her out. Otherwise, Mary would have
continued on.
If only for that dastardly dog and your bratty little kids.
I'm telling you, yeah.
Yeah.
Mary Bell is actually quoted as saying Brian Howe had no mother, so he wouldn't be missed.
Was it the first victim? She mutilated their.
It was Brian.
Genitals.
Yeah, she skinned his genitals.
She skinned them.
So obviously acting out.
What's wrong with that?
Well, she's acting. She's
well,
acting
right. Obviously, there's something wrong with that.
One step further. I mean, you choke somebody to death, you throw them on the box, you do whatever.
Well, but
this kid was
pimped out by her mom.
She was being abused, and it was horrible. But she decided that he wasn't picked at random. Like he had no mother, nobody was going to miss him. So we're going to go ahead and do this. Hmm. So
I ain't got no mother.
Please don't get me started. At the trial in December of 1968, Norma was acquitted of all charges.
And how did she walk?
She probably flipped.
Yes.
She flipped.
She flipped. Obviously, one, right? It didn't take a lot. She was the older one.
She wasn't convicted?
No.
She didn't get any time.
She was acquitted of all charges, while Mary was convicted on 2 counts of manslaughter. I don't know why it wasn't murder, but it was manslaughter.
I forgot the term that they used, but it was something to the effect that they took into consideration her age. They have a term for it, but I can't remember what it is.
Asshole.
It was something like, I don't know. But it was in consideration of her young age is why they
mitigating circumstances.
It was something like that. But the English has a term in English law. I can't remember what it was.
Fancy legal language.
They do. Legalese. She was described by court psychiatrist as intelligent, manipulative, and dangerous. Let's see. Norma Bell was acquitted. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, on the grounds of diminished responsibility.
There you go. That's what it is. This diminished responsibility.
Yeah. She displayed classic symptoms of psychopathy. The judge described her as dangerous and said she posed a very grave risk to other children. She was detained. She was sentenced to be detained at Her Majesty's pleasure, effectively an indefinite sentence of imprisonment.
Yeah. So you think they really went to the queen and said,
"What's your pleasure?"
What's your pleasure?
Or who knows?
I think they probably had some oversight. Anyway, she spent 8 years in the Young Offenders Institutes. When she was finally transferred to Moore Court Open Prison, where she escaped with two boys in 1977. I don't know why they have the girls and the boys in the same prison.
Well, she got a great deal of attention from the British press, and she really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And her mother actually repeatedly sold stories about her to the press.
Yeah, her mother was capitalizing on
and gave reporters writings that she claimed to have been by her daughters.
Yeah. And there's no... from what I read, that was questionable whether they were really written by her daughter or something she made up to get a few bucks.
But her penalty for escaping was a loss of prison privileges for 28 days. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what kind of prison privileges there are, like shower, toilet. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
But she lost them. She couldn't get commissary.
I get the impression that the British penal system is a little bit more tolerant than the U.S., but I don't know.
Is it penal?
When she escaped, she was at large for only 2 days, and then they caught her. And then in 1980, she, at age 23, Mary was released from Ashton Grange Open Prison, having served 12 years for these murders. She was granted anonymity and given a new
name.
Sorry,
granted what?
Whatever.
She's Eminem? She's the rapper now?
She's the green one. I knew I'd seen her before.
She was allowing her to get a new start. And
should she get a new start?
And you know what's allowing her to do?
She was 10 years old.
You think she's better now?
She should get a new start.
You think she's better?
I think the bitch ought to be branded in her forehead.
I do too.
Child killer. Genital mutilator.
Genital mutilator.
Yeah.
Well, it should say that on the
GM, right on the top.
On the microchip in her arm.
She was a sick puppy. So 4 years later, after she got released in 1980, she had a daughter of her own who was born on May 25th, 1984.
She's
about, not at all. They lived a normal life. Her daughter did not even know about her mother's past until some reporters caught up with Mary's location in 1998. And then she and her mother had to leave their house with bed sheets over their head to escape the press.
Wow.
Aww.
And Belle's daughter was originally protected by the courts until she reached 18. However, they allowed her to remain anonymous, too, and gave her a new life for the extension of her life.
I don't know what that means, they allowed her to remain anonymous.
Well, they allowed her, to, I guess,
what?
Court records. I don't know.
There shouldn't be court records if she keeps her ass out of trouble.
Was she in the murder protection program?
I mean, I guess it was like, I mean, it's some sealed record or something. I don't know. But anyway, the press tracked her down. And not for her daughter. Her daughter didn't do anything.
Yet.
It's not my problem. Yet.
Anyway, these court orders protect an identity of a convict in Britain has since been known as the Mary Bell Order.
I thought that was when you had your genitals mutilated.
Yeah.
In Britain, that's a man.
That's being called Mary Bell.
You get Mary Bell.
Oh, no, don't Mary Bell me. Don't Mary Bell me.
In 2009.
That's what happens.
In
the United States is called King Bobbitt.
Can I finish, please? In 2009, it was reported that Mary became a grandmother. And so she is still alive today under an assumed name and somewhere in Great Britain.
See, no, and here's my issue with this. So we've given her anonymity and, you know, she's got a new life and she's got all this and she's been allowed to have a daughter and she's been allowed, you know, she has grandchildren and she has this. What about those other people?
Because
I'm sure
Got a puppy.
She probably does have a puppy and a house and a life. Now, what about, you know, Martin's mom? I'm sure she wanted grandchildren from him.
Why do you think Martin had a mom?
And was the other kid. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
understand what you're saying, but come on, she's 10 years old.
Yeah, she was 10.
She got
a second chance.
She does, but she shouldn't. First of all, she only got 12 years. If she's under diminished capacity, does that mean that she's slow? Does that mean that she's a child?
It means she's 10 years old.
I'm sure she was evaluated.
You know, let me ask you something.
That's only a few years older than Noah.
it's 6 years older than Noah. But here's the thing.
I mean, it's
okay. So if some kid, some 10-year-old, 11-year-old, kills your child.
No, of course not.
His child kills your child.
How is it fair that in 12 years she gets out of prison to go live her life under an assumed name
it's never going to be fair to the victim or the victim's family. But this child was seriously sickly abused from the day she was born. And you can, I mean,
her mother should have been in prison.
Well, yeah, I was just going to
agree with that. I mean, I agree that her mother should have paid a price for what she done.
I'd go after the parent.
But, you know, come on, 10 years old. She was, you know, she was terribly
abused. She knew enough to try and hide it.
Yeah, she's still 10 years old. That's true.
The British are weak on crime. You got
to
admit that.
They really are. She knew enough to try and hide it.
And 10-year-olds know. And they, right from wrong. You know, they know. Yeah. They should know that. But it sounds like the mom, you know, her
she didn't have a chance. And I'm sorry for that.
She didn't have a chance.
But you know, that's not Martin's mom's problem.
I agree.
Or Brian's dad. Because he didn't mom, so that was all.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a T-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay. She felt it was okay since he didn't have a mom.
Well, maybe she found Jesus.
All right, let's move on to Brenda Spencer. I'm not going to agree on this. Let's hear about Brenda Spencer.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know that you just get to tell us we can't talk about the girl no more.
Well, talk about her. What were you going to say?
I'll tell you this. She'd have killed a damn puppy. She'd have never got out of jail.
All right.
She would have killed three kids and a puppy. She'd have never seen the light of day. Because you know what? You could watch a Civil War movie and watch all these men get killed, but see one dog get killed, Old Yeller, people up in arms about it. People get killed in the country all day, but one dog get chained up against a yard in the hot sun and you see it all over Facebook.
You made a left somewhere. I don't know what happened.
I'm so glad we interrupted the show for that conversation.
Yes.
Brittany.
I don't know what happened.
Young Brittany.
I tried to be with you.
So Brenda Ann Spencer is the other... Young child killer.
Yeah, do we call them child killer? Because
they're child. I don't know.
They're children killer. Yeah, it's hard to say. Child psychologist. Are they a little person who's a psychologist, or do they work with children?
Yes, they're like Doogie Howser.
Okay.
I don't know, but anyway, she was born on April 3rd, 1962, and she was born in San Diego, California, and she grew up across the street from Grover Cleveland Elementary School.
I thought you were going to say across the street from Grover Cleveland Alexander. I was so impressed with that.
Nope.
So impressive.
So I don't have a whole lot about her early childhood, unless you guys have any information about it. But
she was an asshole, too.
She probably was.
She was pretty mean to her dad,
it sounds like, from what I've gathered. But when she was 16, the school had... had told her father and her mom that she was suicidal, and the dad did not want to put her into any type of psychiatric ward or anything like that, or have any psychiatric evaluations done. shortly after that, the two of them separated, and she chose to live with her father. The two of them pretty much lived in poverty. They lived in a single room with a mattress on the floor. Her dad, I guess, was an alcoholic as well. So she had a lot of trouble growing up around that age. Soon after, it was Christmas, and she had asked for a radio, but her dad bought her a .22 caliber rifle.
What, the suicidal?
Which is what you give a suicidal child.
Exactly. That's just not right. With 500 rounds of ammunition.
Because that's what you need.
Right. Yeah. I don't want you to have an evaluation.
She wanted a radio.
Told me this, but I'm going to give you, here's a gun.
With 500 rounds.
500 rounds.
Why do you need 500? Why do you need 500 rounds? And sidebar, okay, say it's for hunting. Let's say it's for hunting. Where is she at? San Diego?
Yeah.
Really?
Seals. They're seals.
Walruses, squirrels.
Fish. Seals.
Squirrels.
500 Birds. Rounds.
No, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. Snakes.
But she stated, she said she had asked for a radio, but he bought me a gun. And when they asked why he had done that, she said, I felt like he wanted me to kill myself.
Well, that's probably pretty good logic if you're suicidal and your dad gives you a gun with ammo.
Yeah, she's probably right.
I mean, what are you thinking if
I'm not sure why 500 rounds. Maybe
How many chances are you going to give her? She needs to get it right the first time.
You could have just got her a small box.
But why would she choose to live with her dad instead of her mom? Was it a rules issue?
I don't know.
It sounded like her mom
didn't want her.
No, ain't nobody wanted this girl.
But also, it sounds like her mom wanted her to put her in some institution or something.
Yeah,
maybe why she chose to live with her dad.
She decided to live with her dad. Now, depending on who you believe, she said from the time she was 9 on, her dad was molesting her.
That's allegedly.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Now, she stated that.
Yeah.
She stated.
Right.
He, of course, is stating that's not true.
She also had talked about shooting police officers and doing something big to get on TV. And this was before Christmas, before she was given the gun.
So that's certainly what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Men don't think. Men give horrible presents.
Well, yeah, that is one of the...
Got her a damn radio.
We wouldn't even have this.
We're not real good gifters.
Yeah.
We're not good gifters at all.
I want a radio. I end up with a .22 and 500 rounds.
Right.
Well, I...
Which is not close to what I wanted.
Oh, that's... But you get desperate. You get that, you know.
The radio's cheaper. I mean,
right.
It'll save you back $15.
So you happen to be at the gun store.
Okay,
I'm going to go get my daughter a gun.
And we have talked about this.
My suicidal daughter.
Renee graduated this week. This week,
congratulations, Renee!
And
did you get her a pink camouflage gun?
I was so damn desperate. I went down and bought her a Joey Votto jersey.
Right.
That's
Did she smother somebody with it?
No,
it doesn't have anything to do with this.
No, it's just that you get desperate. You don't know what to buy people, especially women.
But did she ask you for something specific?
No, she didn't tell me
this
nothing.
This poor little girl said, I want a radio.
No, I would have bought Renee
Please,
a radio.
AM, FM, maybe throw a cassette tape in there somewhere.
I want to listen to some music.
I just got her a Pandora subscription.
Yeah.
8-track.
Anything but the gun.
Yeah.
No, she was a... She was a misfit, was what she was. And then being a misfit made her very extremely angry.
Why was she
angry.
A misfit?
People are just, why are you misfit? You misfit, why are you misfit? I don't know. Something happened
no,
to you.
I'm asking, I don't know why this turns into a personal attack on me. What I'm asking
it should
is,
be, everything should be a
why
personal
was she
attack
a misfit? Was she just, you know, did she have something, did she have horrible acne? Was she had, you
she
know,
was. She was a tiny girl.
I mean, I got
she
was poor.
5'2", she was, from the pictures I've seen, and they don't use the word, but from the pictures I've seen, I believe she might have been a ginger.
Yes, she was.
She was.
She looks
nuts. She's only 5'2".
Wait a minute.
A ginger.
I think one sort of has something to do with the other, but you're back there. She's a ginger. Yeah, she looks nuts.
That's making a rash generalization. I apologize to all the gingers who listen to our show.
You said her photo.
I'm sure you're not all crazy.
I said my comment. But what happens next, I mean, after she's given the gun.
Thank you for
you know,
that redirect.
I think that it's totally all on her dad.
Okay, Charles, what happens next?
How does she
Well, what happens next is...
We'll talk about it.
She's just at a house one day. It's
Monday.
It's Monday. It's actually in January, but in San Diego, every day is the same day. I mean, it's right. Like Groundhog.
So this is like the January after the Christmas when she got the gun.
It's a month after she got the gun, 1979, and she just sits herself by the window and loads up her rifle and starts shooting. Now, she shoots, and she shoots, and she shoots. Now, there was a... the principal, his last name was Ragg, W-R-A-G-G.
When you say she shoots, she's shooting at a school.
She's shooting at the children playing on the playground in the school.
And her apartment is across from the house.
Dead across the street from the house. And so now you have, the principal runs out to get all these kids. And those are some pretty heroic things that happen here. And so the principal runs out there to get the kids. She sees him, plucks him in the chest, right in the chest, drops him right where he stands, but doesn't kill him right away. Now, a janitor, he runs out there, and he's, seeing what he can do. His name's Mike Sukar. He runs out there to get the principal and try and drag him to safety. And, the girl's only across the street. She's a pretty good shot. She hits the janitor in the head, so there are only two killed.
Luckily.
Yeah. Now, there were, I believe, seven children shot.
Seven wounded.
Seven wounded. Of the seven, only four had significant injuries. Three were actually treated and released at the scene. But she...
one was paralyzed, right?
One was paralyzed. She did end up shooting a policeman that showed up. And that was really... And as this is going on, she fired 30 shots over the course of 15 minutes before the shooting stopped. Now, she had a lot more ammunition. She quit shooting for some reason. And it may have been because the police showed up and they were going to shoot out the window if she poked her head up. But she did only fire 30 rounds. And they had the SWAT team there. And they was talking to them. And she's just, being just a bratty little, kid shooter is what she is. But then... reporter gets through to her on the phone. That's where the famous quote, "I don't like Mondays," comes from. A reporter gets through to her on the phone and says, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" And she said, "I don't like Mondays. I just wanted to liven up the day. And I thought I could take a couple pigs out with me." That's what they called the police back then. "I thought I could take a couple pigs out with me." That was her. Which led to, the Boomtown Rats song, "I Don't Like Mondays," which in the UK went number one. It was a very popular song. Boomtown Rats are very
popular. There's some controversy around the song, too, right?
Well, they banned it in a lot because of the lyrical content. They banned it in a lot of places. The United States, a lot of cities would not play the song. And they said it, it doesn't. If you listen to the song, it's more creepy than anything else. It's not glorifying anything. It's a very creepy song when you know what it's based on. But anyway, that's kind of.
But there's some like allegations that they were taking advantage of them.
Yeah, the
tragedy.
And it happened only because Bob Geldof was the lead singer of the band. The band happened to be playing in San Diego that day. So he's watching the news and he hears this and he thinks of the ridiculousness of "I don't like Mondays." And he was, what goes through his mind, only because I've seen the interview how the song came about, is what the hell were the parents thinking? Where are the parents in this?
Right.
You think your girl's the perfect little girl and she's out there shooting kids. What the hell's, going on? And him being Irish, coming from Ireland, where they have very strict gun laws, this is foreign to him,
Right.
So, that's another thing. Now, a lot of things went on here. She got tried. She got sentenced to 25 years of whatever. She got sentenced to 25 years of life. She's been up for parole a few times. Her problem is every time she comes up for parole, her story changes. She said that she was, at one point she said she was drunk and high when she did it, but drug testing showed that she was not drunk or high. Now, one thing that was proven later was that she had a bicycle wreck when she was a small child, and it damaged the frontal lobe of her brain. Mm-hmm. And part of that frontal lobe, much like Whitman, who climbed the tower in Texas, part of that frontal lobe is what makes you have empathy and concern for other people. Mm-hmm. She had no empathy and concern for these children. You know, clearly, if you're going to shoot at them, but... You know, you wonder what makes somebody do that. Well, the girl truly had organic brain damage. I mean, she had that. Now, whether that was a cause or not, but it couldn't have helped.
But now, has that been proven that she has that brain damage?
That's been proven that she had the brain damage. She while she was in prison, while, you know, her lawyers and that were trying to figure out what the hell, because she was really a pretty much a model citizen when she went to. You know, after prison, she was never really a nice girl or anything else, you know, that was going to jump out. But she wasn't problematic. She wasn't, you know, she wasn't a sociopath. She wasn't cold. She wasn't.
She is a sociopath. She's crazy.
Well, maybe had they done the psych evaluation, well, no empathy
at that time. But she has since said, too, that what she feels like her legacy is that she feels like every school shooting that has happened, because this is, now we talked about this before, there was tons and tons, there's been tons of school shootings in America, tons and tons. But it's really not until you get into the 70s that you have children going in and killing in large numbers other children. You know, most of the school shootings, if you look back, they are adults shooting other adults inside of schools. Mm-hmm. But this was the first one that, you know, when It was easy to garner national attention. You know, this was really the first one like that. And she has since said that she feels like her legacy and her responsibility is every time there's a school shooting, she thinks, could they have gotten that idea from me? And that she regrets every time she hears about a school shooting, she feels responsible for that. Which, you know, leads you to believe she's not a complete sociopath. You know, or maybe she lied. Who knows? But
you've got to wonder if that affects the parole hearing as well.
Well, but here's the thing. How is that school shooting about me? Am I responsible for that? Is that me? Did I do that? It's about her. It's about her.
Yeah.
Well, what her thinking is was that school shooting, did I start something in motion?
Yeah,
Did I start something in motion by, if she's claiming responsibility.
But she's not. She's saying what's expected to be said of her. You don't just develop.
You one cynical woman, I tell you that.
No, but you've had this, when you were a child, you had this traumatic brain injury, you had this TBI, and you have no empathy. Now all of a sudden, when it's time for your parole, or now all of a sudden when you talk to a reporter, now, oh yeah, when I hear about this, I feel like maybe it's my fault. That's
She's gonna show remorse, but I still think
she got in trouble.
Had she never gotten the gun, she never would have done it. You know, maybe she would have, but it was too easy for her to do it. You know,
there's some people.
Culpability
if she would have got an easy bake oven, she would have.
She still has to take responsibility. But for
she was
doing
old
it.
Enough.
I agree.
She was. You want to argue that 10-year-old little Mary Bell there wasn't okay? That's fine. She certainly was old enough to take responsibility for her own actions.
Well, 10 and 16, I think there's a big difference there.
I do too. And I think
she was tried as an adult.
I'm not arguing that there's not a difference. What I'm saying is, you guys said that Mary Bell was too young to take responsibility. 16, 17 is certainly not.
Right.
She is responsible for what she did.
I'm less sympathetic toward her, that's for sure. We know Mary Bell's history. We know she alleges abuse. Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. Who knows? But I do think that there's culpability for the father who gave a mentally unbalanced child a weapon.
Right.
That's stupid.
Instead of on radio.
Was she tried as an adult?
She was tried as an adult. She was found guilty. 25 to life in prison.
She's up for parole, I think, in 2019.
Yeah, she's been up for parole 3 times.
And she's still every time. In California?
She's
not,
she's
still in California. And they've since torn the school down.
Probably the house too. Whatever house she was in.
That was not because of the shooting. It was because just of cutbacks in the San Diego public school system that they tore the school down.
They 30 shots makes you wonder though if she's sitting. 30 shots only over 15 minutes makes you wonder if she's sitting there and lining up her shot.
She's taking her time. And how much ammo can you put in one of those guns? Does she have to reload?
And that kind of came up. No, it was a single shot.
It was a single shot 22.
So she
put 30.
No, every time she would shoot, she would have to take the whole bullet out,
like a bolt
case out. Yeah, bolt action. Take it out and put a new one in
and line it back up.
And then sight it back in. And
she hit more than 8 people.
Nine.
You said seven.
One of the things that was kind of interesting is she says she was shooting at nothing in particular. Now, she's told the parole board 10 different times is that, not 10, but as it comes up, is that she was trying to commit suicide. What she believed was that the police would kill her.
Suicide by cop. And then she got scared.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
And that's what she said. She decided she wanted to commit suicide. She thought if she started firing off some rounds in there, what she would do is she would shoot a couple cops. It would draw the cops in. She shoot a couple cops. It would be the big event to put her on the news. The cops would kill her. And then she decided, she realized at the last minute, she was scared. She was scared to die. She was cowardly.
Obviously.
Yeah.
She cowardly.
But she was shooting at something in particular because... You don't just shoot and hit somebody in the head.
Well, it's kind of, it's, here's what I don't get about this is that she says she was not shooting at anything in particular. The two adults she killed, the kids, as I said, 3 of them were just treated and released at the scene. She right across the street with a scope. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, when the principal came out, she hit him dead square center mass in the chest.
Yeah. Wow.
The janitor comes out. She puts one right in his damn head. She had 30 shots. She only hit 10 people, the policeman, the principals, and the kids. When she had the ability and had the desire to put a shot where she wanted to put it, she did it. But with the kids, she didn't do it. She shot them, but she didn't shoot any of the kids in the head. She didn't shoot.
I'm not sure.
She
if that
shot
makes it
toward
better.
Them. I'm not saying better or worse. I'm saying it's interesting that she had the ability, she had the capability of killing everybody that she shot at.
Right.
But she didn't.
And, I don't know. And why kids not? Move fast.
So,
but it was probably hiding behind the slide.
No charges against dad?
No, her dad.
See, but there, I mean, I think both parents, the parents in both cases, are culpable. For some of the things.
Well, I think
that
they're culpable, but you can only, especially when a kid gets 16 and you're trying them as an adult. This girl.
She just wanted a radio.
She was a truant.
She had a damn radio.
And this is what I don't get. She'd been charged with truancy, petty theft,
plus it was
drug abuses. Why didn't she just go out and steal the damn radio? And if you're going to shoot people, you're going to shoot people and you want a radio. Just walk down to the Walgreens, take your rifle with you, and tell them you want a damn radio.
But we're not encouraging anyone to do that.
No, but it's better than... Okay,
do that than shoot kids.
I will say,
yes, but we're
I
not
encourage
encouraging
you
anyone
to hold up the local Walgreens in lieu of shooting children. I will say that.
Yes, but we don't want anyone to shoot up anyone.
Well, you shouldn't... if they don't have it coming.
No. We don't. We do not encourage.
Well, you know, some people got it coming.
We're going to end up getting sued.
No.
Some psycho is going to shoot someone, and they said, "I heard it on History Dweebs. The colonel told me that it was okay."
But they're going to have to prove that the person had it coming, and if the person had it coming, it's a stand your ground thing.
Okay. Young Brittany, any final thoughts on
nice thought, children,
children who kill? We have to do it. We're going to, once the whole George Zimmerman thing is final, we'll do a podcast on him. But he's still going right now, so we have to hold back on that.
I do not have any final thoughts. You guys shared them all.
Brandy, any final thoughts?
I have several, but I'll keep them to myself for now, so no.
Charles.
Well, I got a lot of thoughts on this, but you cut me off. And
no, I'm just trying to keep us moving. Trying to keep this
bitter about it.
You know, I'm not. I'm just trying to keep things moving.
You need a Snickers bar. You know what you...
Joe Pesci?
Yeah, you turn into Joe Pesci when you get hungry, Timmy. I'm just saying that. I don't know what has been
about. Please tell me about... Please elaborate on puppies and Old Yeller, please.
I'm just saying...
No, not Old Yeller.
You have... You showed about Old Gettysburg. These poor bastards lined up, stacked up four deep dead. All right? No. Ain't nobody cares. It's like, oh, I think the South is starting to get the lead here. I think the North... Let a damn dog stroll across that field and get shot. Everybody in the damn theater going to be crying.
I know. That's horrible. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Do you have any other thoughts besides that has something to do with what we talked about?
Like where to find us?
Yeah.
Well, you can find us at historydweeb.com.
Obviously, they found us. They're listening to us now. But what should they do if they're listening to us on iTunes?
Leave us a comment.
Jesus, what the hell is wrong with you?
Come on. Sell it.
Now, you go to what you do here, folks, and the Colonel really needs you to do this. Now, look over there, youngster. You don't start taking over this.
Yeah, Brandy's a bad influence.
She is a bad influence. Look at this one. What color eyes you got there?
Sweet Jesus, I have
We got a blue brown haired devil and
started telling people what to do.
Oh, we got the
leave
blue eyed devil.
Leave us a comment so
the
people know where to find us on
Not
iTunes.
Leave a comment.
Please.
You go to iTunes. You go to
I think it was rate us, leave
now
a comment,
people
whatever.
Are confused.
Rape us.
Rate.
Oh, okay.
Rate.
What? I don't know what he's encouraging people
to do. You go to iTunes.
And bobsled. You people.
And you subscribe if you like it. You subscribe and then you rate us, review us. And put down that you somebody for God's sake say something nice about Timmy.
We will give you a shout out if you leave a comment.
Oh, we'll give you a prize.
Yeah, shout out by the Colonel or Young Brittany, your choice.
I will come to your house and give you a pedicure.
But evidently not me.
No one likes us. He's going to go to their house and give them a pedicure.
I will come to your house, give you a pedicure, and
I'm
give you
a
guitar lessons.
Nice.
I'll give you guitar lessons for free.
Do you know how to play guitar?
I got a book.
All right. Say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
Say goodbye, Colonel. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
I think we should...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.